Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Throughout the presidential campaign, you'll be hearing from unemployed auto workers in Michigan, out-of-work machinists in Ohio, or maybe casino workers in Nevada. They'll all be sharing stories of not being able to catch a break. We don't often hear from the office worker whose company packs up and moves, leaving them jobless with no place to go.
We sing a happy birthday song once a month. On Happy Birthday Tuesday, I got a place to go in the morning. Going to work.
That is Ethan Lipton and his orchestra from No Place to Go. It's a show about the anxieties and driftlessness of being suddenly jobless. The show at the Public Theater in Manhattan was a critic's pick from the New York Times and is making a stop in Saxton's River, Vermont next weekend.
Man, I'm not kidding when I tell you, I love my job.
By his own description, Ethan Lipton is an emerging playwright and an old-timey songwriter, and a man who actually enjoyed his job as an information refiner. He's on the line with us now from Brooklyn to tell us more about the show. Ethan Lipton, great to have you on Word of Mouth.
Thank you so much for having me.
So did this happen to you? Did you lose your job as an information refiner?
I did. Well, information refiner is sort of a made-up job title, but basically I was a copy editor. And I worked for a company for 10 years, and it was a good job. I worked part-time, you know, maybe 30 hours a week. It became a big part of my life, I guess, as jobs do, not just because I relied on it to pay my bills, but also because I became enmeshed in the community of people there. And then at some point, the company decided that it could no longer do business here in town. And so it left and gave all of us the option of going with it. And in the piece that we do, No Place to Go, the company is moving to Mars.
No, aren't all the companies just moving to Mars these days?
Yes, yes. My company did not actually move to Mars, truth be told, but it felt like that.
You're known in New York as a lounge act. In fact, New York Magazine named you Best Lounge Act back in 2009. But there is a lot of play. There's a lot of drama in No Place to Go. There's anxiety and the kind of smooth narrative of a lounge act at the same time. How did you fuse those two things, those two parts of you?
I think that maybe they just sort of exist in me, you know, in some way that's kind of natural. One of the things we've always tried to do in the band is to kind of take funny things very seriously. That's always been something that I'm attracted to, I guess, is, you know, sort of a straight-faced kind of absurdity. I've always liked the troubadours. As far as musicians, I've always liked, you know, Willie Nelson and Tom Waits and Leonard Cohen and all those guys who tell great stories and often have unreliable narrators. So I guess something about this particular project was waiting to happen eventually.
Let's hear from one of the songs from No Place to Go. This is Final Sandwich, which kind of combines the silliness and the heaviness.
Dear staff, it's me, the final sandwich in the conference room. Yes, I know somebody wants me.
The final sandwich keeps coming back in No Place to Go. It's left behind to congeal, advances in decay throughout the play. There is this kind of, you know, feeling of being unwanted and I guess ultimately unmissed.
Yeah, I think one of the things you realize when you work at a place for a while and then have an experience like this is that you're not really necessary in the way that you thought perhaps you were. I liked my job. I cared about doing as good a job as I could, and I felt a connection to the people I'd worked with. And I guess I can't really speak for everybody, but I know that we all thought it would be there, particularly because the company we were working for was doing well. And you kind of go through these levels of denial when you find out that the company is doing what a company always does, really, which is take care of itself. Part of what is so frustrating about it and is so hard to move past is that you know you kind of don't have anyone else to blame in the end for your faith that you put in the company. My feeling is always like, what kind of a sucker would put his faith in his company? And yet I like a lot of people do.
Well, and as you mentioned, you were encouraged to do that. We're all a family. We're all in a team. We're doing this together.
Oh, yeah. I think that's always the mythology of the workplace. You think of all of these people as being the company. Then you come to this understanding that actually they're not. The company is this independent body acting on its own interests, which, of course, you always knew.
Let's hear a bit from the song, You'll Have to Pay.
I know you're sorry. You walked away. You didn't mean to be unkind. You just couldn't stay. But if you want me to go with you, this is all I can say. You can have me. I'm all yours, dear. If you pay, you never asked me.
That's You'll Have to Pay from the live show No Place to Go. We're talking with Ethan Lipton. He's the playwright and singer who is singing there with the Ethan Lipton Orchestra. His show, No Place to Go, is making a pretty rare jump from Manhattan's Public Theater to Horowitz Hall in Saxton's River, Vermont, of all places, on August the 10th. It's funny, you know, it sounds like the old construct of a blues song. You're talking to a lover, but in this case, you're talking to your company.
Yeah, I mean, it is a relationship, and it supported a lot of other relationships that I have in my life. You know, it was the thing that allowed my wife and I to stay solvent, you know, in order to be in New York. If you're an artist, you know, you have to be sort of fantastically successful in order to simply make art. And so the rest of us do other things. We knew that we would be living without a lot of the good benefits that come with working for a company. And in some ways, that bargain was okay, because what we got in exchange for that, what I got in exchange for that, was time. This is a little bit of a digression, but I think when I was a young person and thinking about being an artist, I think one of the things that I obsessed about was the feeling that I was sort of different from everybody else. As I've gotten older, one of the things that I've become more and more interested in is how we're alike, and how the experiences I have and the things that I'm interested in are in many ways super common.
That's interesting, Ethan, because you've been praised for a sort of not participating in the partisan hysteria about being unemployed. In fact, the tagline for the show promises that it's a show for the 100%. But I hear the song WPA, for example, and I think, maybe he is taking a stand.
Yeah, I think the show actually is very political, but I'm hoping that it is inclusive. My original hope with this piece was to write something for the people I worked with. And the people that I worked with was this very finite number. You know, they were from executives to people who were doing work that was more blue collar. And so my hope is that that community is a picture of the larger community, and that anybody within that swath could find something to connect with in it.
Let's hear a bit of that song, WPA. This is from No Place to Go, the live show and the album by Ethan Lipton and his orchestra.
Did you hear what they did at the WPA? When the banks went belly up and the jobs all went away, they reinvested in America. They put the poor worker at honest pay. They built dams and roads and bridges, things that we still use today. At the WPA, when the speculators drove the market into New York Bay, it gave a core of citizens a place to go and a chance to make some hay. They built schools and pools and airports, things we still use today. Stomp your feet now, clap your hands. Harry Hopkins, he's our man.
first need E.
It sounds to me like there's a bit of Willie Loman in there. Is that a fair comparison?
That would be great. Willie Loman is a great and tragic character, and I don't know if the character in this piece is quite as tragic. At the end of the piece, really, he realizes that he's going to move on in some capacity, although he doesn't know exactly how. But I do think that, you know, there is something American about this story, about feeling disposed of and left behind and not being sure how you're going to move forward. But one of my favorite comments about the piece was that it didn't feel like a piece about self-pity, that it tries to be a kind of honest assessment. Hopefully, by giving the show that sort of tweak and imbuing it with a kind of humor, this character stops short of being Willie Loman. And I think most people in America probably stop short of being Willie Loman.
Do they still make men in Brooklyn like the mighty mensch Mark Jives? Do we know who will be singing early Sondheim in the aisles?
And Ethan Lipton, I really want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on, Virginia.
Ethan Lipton and his orchestra, who are, by the way, Eben Levy on guitar, Ian Riggs, and Vito Dieterle on saxophone, are going to be in New England. In fact, they'll be at Saxton's River, Vermont on Saturday, August the 10th, to perform No Place to Go. It's a show by Ethan Lipton and his orchestra, and it's also an album. His play Luther also opened in New York this summer, and also another play, Red-Handed Otter, will be premiering at the Cherry Lane Theater in New York City this September. So Ethan Lipton has found plenty to do with his free time. We have much more on him at wordofmouthradio.org.
Men who believe in their Lord, when Jesus said any regrets, Mark told him, I'm just looking for I'm going to be with my mom and my dad, my brother.